Hello and welcome to Good People to Know, a down-to-earth podcast brought to you by WFI Insurance. My name is Damien Gallagher, CGU and WFI Executive General Manager for Customer Experience and Growth. On this podcast, we round up experts, specialists and people in the know from around Australia, and we talk to them about the things that matter most to regional Australians. Nearly 1,900 people have died on Australian farms since 2001. With nearly 15% of those being children. It's a sobering statistic and why WFI Insurance is proud to sponsor the 2025 Safer Farms Report, a vital resource for farmers and their families aimed at saving lives. As one of Australia's leading rural insurers, we see the life-changing impacts of farming and farming incidents, and we know not everyone gets a second chance. A momentary lapse in concentration can change a life forever. Last year's FarmSafe Australia Chair and Tasmanian beef farmer, Felicity Richards, joined us on the podcast to talk about the findings of the 2024 report. Today, Felicity joins us again from her farm in Tasmania to talk about whether Australian farms are becoming a safer place to live and work. Felicity, welcome to the podcast again. And for our listeners who maybe didn't catch you last year, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family's farm?
Sure, thank you. I'm Felicity Richards. I'm the chair of FarmSafe Australia, but I'm also a beef farmer down in northern Tasmania, where my husband and I run a beef operation across three locations. It's meant to be helping us drought-proof, not strictly speaking the best strategy, but it's still a lot of fun. And we have three small children aged 5, 7 and 9 who are rapidly growing up to the point where they can open gates. Yay.
Definitely. I bet you that's keeping life interesting as well.
Sure is. Absolutely.
Felicity, in my intro, I mentioned some of the harrowing statistics that relate to farm safety. And since we did this podcast last year, are Australian farms getting safer?
Unfortunately, Damien, 2024 was a tragic year on Australian farms. There's not really any other way to describe it. We saw a heartening decrease in fatalities in 2023, but in 2024, those numbers skyrocketed and we went from 32 deaths to 72 fatalities, which was the highest in over 20 years. Unfortunately, it's not only about the fatalities. Our incidents, our injuries have stayed high and they've stayed high for the last 10 years. So we've also got a lot of work to do there. We see 2025 as a much needed reset and an opportunity to make sure that we continue in our really dedicated pursuit of bringing those numbers down.
Yeah, that's a horrific number. And as you said, behind every one of those numbers is, you know, a family or, you know, a personal story. So I guess that just reinforces the critical importance of what it is that you're trying to do through the FarmSafe initiative and also the discussion that we'll have today. This year's report is called Second Chance. Who knows how many you'll get? Can you tell me a little bit about this theme? And if there's a story behind it, could you share that with us?
Thank you. It's a campaign that I'm really, really proud of. And I've got to give credit to Stevie Howdle, our executive officer, because this is her brainchild. And it's beautiful to me because it speaks right to the heart of farmers. And so many farmers are amazing storytellers and they have amazing stories to tell. And what we want this year's campaign to be about is sharing those stories so that we can learn from them. We can make sure that all those incidents, and some of them are harrowing, but some of them are funny. They can almost seem trivial. Your heart skips a beat and you think, oh, that was a bit of a close one, and you move on. And I guess what we want to say is maybe don't move on. Maybe stop, take that as an opportunity to reflect, think about what could have gone wrong. If you can reflect for yourself on what you need to do differently, but if you're comfortable, also share that story with others. You don't have to jump on a social media platform if that's not your gig, but maybe talking to your family, your team, your community to share those stories and make sure we learn from them.
I've had the opportunity to read a couple of those, but maybe you wouldn't mind sharing with listeners one of the less intense stories.
Yeah, there are a lot of pretty full-on stories in agriculture, but there's also a lot of smaller ones. Just recently, my husband had one, which I found kind of entertaining because I could picture it almost happening in slow motion. So I'll share one of his with his full permission, I promise. So he was checking some cattle. We'd had a fair bit of rain, which was nice. And there was a cattle quite close to a gateway. And he thought, okay, I'll just quietly sneak past them. I don't want to push them through the gateway. I just want to go around them. So he gets to the gate, opens it, And in his, I suppose, thinking, yes, I've done this a million times before and I know exactly what I'm doing, he goes to drive through the gate and realizes that because of that rain, because of the cattle standing there and making the ground quite slippery, the ute ever so gently slides down until it's resting with the passenger door firmly against a post. So a lovely one to share with our insurer. No, it certainly wasn't a high-speed incident. It was quite hard to think of what he should have done differently because speed was definitely not a factor. It was a case of, I think, just getting a little bit complacent and thinking, you know, not taking that time to think, hang on a minute, I need to reassess this terrain that I'm normally so familiar with. My favourite part is that the only way he could get out of it without doing more damage to the car was he had to get out with the chainsaw and chainsaw the post off so that he could drive the car forward. So I really enjoyed it when he shared that one with the team and we all had a little bit of a chuckle. So no great harm done, but just one of those little incidents that was worth sharing to avoid it happening again.
The everlasting ingenuity of a farmer, hey? Felicity, one of the points you made as you were sharing that was, and it really comes out in the Farm Safe report, is the opportunity that these stories do give you a chance to reflect. Often we think, oh, well, that was lucky and it could have been far worse, but we don't often take the next step to do something about that. Do you want to just maybe unpack that as a concept a little bit about what's really important that we change as we learn from these near misses?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I emphasize sharing the story, but you're right. What really matters is what we then do with it. You know, what do we do differently as a result of sharing that story? And that's where I think as farmers, and particularly if you are, and like this is for everyone, so, but I'm speaking, I guess, particularly to the people who either manage a farm or who are the employer or person responsible, create a safe place for people to share those stories and then let them guide how to avoid those things happening in future. And sometimes it's just, you know, I know we'll probably come to be talking more about specific things like side-by-sides in future, I mean, further on, but sometimes it's, was I actually using the wrong tool for the job? Should I actually have been on foot at that point? Should I have been asking the dog to get off and have its well-deserved run at that point because it wasn't really appropriate to be driving where I was driving? So using them for opportunities to reflect and think about what we could have done differently, and hopefully then making sure next time that reflection informs the decision we make at the outset rather than the benefit of hindsight.
And is there also some cultural norms, I guess, in the background of farming that maybe stop us asking the right questions when we have a lucky break like some of those stories? Like, is there some things that we celebrate as farmers around stoicism and other things that maybe lead to unsafe practices or not learning enough from these events?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the themes we're going to be exploring in the week is about complacency. And there's a really interesting discussion in there about saying, yes, you can have experience and experience is a wonderful thing, but be cautious of when that turns into complacency and when something becomes a dangerous habit rather than a healthy routine. So asking people to be cautious of that and make sure that they actually use the opportunity to ask themselves, well, hang on a minute, I may have done this 100 times before. Because we have this real culture, I think, in farming of being like, yeah, I've done it 100 times or 900 or 1,000 times before and I'll be fine. And we forget that actually we might be fine, but the environment we work on is so incredibly changing. So just as my husband experienced, yes, he'd driven through that gateway 100 times, but he just forgot to look and think, well, actually today it's really slippery. Today the environment that I'm really familiar with in is a little bit different. Sometimes those factors are internal. Actually today I'm a hell of a lot more tired than I was yesterday. So the job that took me 10 minutes yesterday, today I need to allow 30 minutes because I can't safely do it in the 10 minutes it took yesterday when I'd had a really good night's sleep and I was feeling tip top.
And there's a couple of really interesting stories in the report just around how that fatigue showed up in a couple of the incidents. Do you want to just reflect a little bit on what we're seeing in terms of fatigue and how that contributes to safety on the farm?
It's hard for us to know exactly how often fatigue is a contributing factor, but certainly anecdotally we think it's at play in a huge number of cases. What I think's difficult with something like fatigue, and mental health is similar, is that often we focus in on what exactly happened in an incident rather than what were the circumstances that led to it. And fatigue's a really big one. We all know that we don't make the best decisions when we're really tired. But going back to your comments about culture, I think we still have a bit of a problem of saying that fatigue is a personal weakness. I just need to push through. I just need another coffee, or just need to toughen it out. It's not a personal weakness, guys. It's a safety threat, and we need to treat it as such, and we need to put strategies in place that recognize it. And it's funny, even just reflecting personally on what are the signs, and do you have people around you who can call out when you're starting to show signs of fatigue or stress? I know that I will suddenly start crying at toothpaste advertisements or something equally innocuous is a really good sign that I am overtired. Start picking arguments about trivial things. They're all signs that I am not at peak mental capacity. And sometimes someone who can gently point out to you that actually maybe you need a little break, and know that break is not a cup of coffee, that is a good night's sleep. Maybe it's a day doing something off the tools, is a really important thing. So can we create workplaces and farms that do that? Amongst our team and amongst our family, it's going to be a huge advantage, I think.
And you would have sometimes during the farming year that fatigue would be more prevalent than others, and really being aware of how the season's impacting you is absolutely critical to safety, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know they're coming too. So the benefit of planning, and there's some fantastic advice in the Safer Farms report about some strategies you can put in place, like plan your buffer zone, like buffer times, if you like. So try not to think, well, we'll just push through no matter what. Make sure you're actually taking into account what those hours are going to look like, factoring in also to the best of your ability the things that are outside of your control, like the weather, which I know a lot of farmers will say, well, I can't help it, I have to do it now. And it's like, yeah, I get that, guys, but don't do it at the expense of an injury or even a fatality. Nothing's worth that.
Look, thanks for going into that a little bit. There's a lot of statistics in the report, but one that really stood out for me is the number of side-by-side incidents and deaths that have occurred over the last 12 months. And I believe now they've even surpassed that of quad bikes. And as an insurer, we've also seen an increase in incidents. With WFI, we've seen over 1,800 incidents relating to farm vehicles over the period of the report. And some of those have had life-altering injuries, sadly, for the people involved. But what do you think is driving this increase in the side-by-side statistics?
It's really hard to know. We don't have the precise data, so we can really only hypothesize at this time. I think there's an increased usage. I suspect that might be at play. We know that with some quad bike manufacturers withdrawing from the market and side-by-sides being touted as a potentially safer option, a lot of people made the move to side-by-sides. The thing is that it doesn't make them appropriate for every job, and it doesn't mean you can bypass the safety features that the manufacturers recommend you use. So it'll take time for us to really understand what's driving that, and in the meantime, we need to make sure we are using them appropriately.
Yeah, so simple. They've got safety features. We can wear helmets. It's taking the step to make sure that we take full advantage of everything that's on those vehicles, isn't it?
Yeah, they really clearly say helmets and seatbelts. And I think we can get too casual about those things. The other thing is that when we actually do a risk assessment, the first step, as you would be only too well aware as an insurer, is always, is there an opportunity to eliminate this risk? And I think sometimes we forget that. We look to the last risk mitigation strategy, which is our PPE, personal protective equipment, like our helmets and things like that. And we forget that actually if I parked at the gate and got my much needed bit of exercise for the day, I wouldn't even be at risk of rollover. In fact, I'd be, getting my fresh air and smelling the roses, so to speak. So sometimes you've actually got to really make yourself stop and think, hang on a minute, I could eliminate this risk altogether rather than going to look at my last resort, which is ultimately the helmet.
Definitely not. Farms, obviously, not only just a place of business, that's also where you live, Felicity, and you'd be highly aware of that with three young ones, as you said at the start, learning to open gates, getting into all sorts of mischief, no doubt. It is upsetting to think that these incidents do happen where children are injured or the worst happens. Has there been any improvement in the last 12 months around child-related accidents?
We haven't seen a lot of movement. We continue to see about that sort of 14 to 15% of fatalities on farm in children under the age of 14. Where we've been able to identify whether there was supervision, we know that in many incidents there's no active supervision of children, and that is a huge part of our focus in our messaging from FarmSafe every year round is around how we keep our children involved and active on the farms as we want them to be, but also supervise them and give them age-appropriate tasks.
There's a really lovely story in the report where they're talking about the 2.5-year-old daughter and the cattle crush as they were running through. But I really loved the narrative around what they did differently after she was in a vulnerable, dangerous kind of a position. But then they built a platform for her to keep her safe while they continue to do that work. And then she's now a part of, you know, different aspects of the job as she's grown older. A really good story about something that was dangerous, the awareness that it created, and then just how the family adapted the running of the business as a result.
Yeah, we're so grateful to Vanessa for sharing that story, because, as you say, not only did she share a really intense moment for them, but also, yes, she's got these great strategies. They use walkie-talkies. They have the designated spot for their daughter. There's lots of communication that they have in place so that there are really clear expectations for their child around knowing where she is all the time and that she's in a safe place no matter what task they're doing, which is fantastic.
So what sort of things, Felicity, have you done with your three children to build in some of those kinds of things in your farm?
One of the ones that always frightens me is machinery, and that's partly because often, you know, there are things moving around unexpectedly on the farm. You know, the tractor might be coming in and out taking feed, or there might be trucks delivering fertilizer or taking cattle. So teaching our kids strategies to manage their own behaviour around that has been really important. One of them is reminding them that the driver can't see them. I think it's really easy as kids to assume, I mean, they're the centre of the universe, obviously, that everyone can see them at all times. And so saying, not only do I want you to wait, like so with the road and things like that, I'm like, you stand away from the road in our driveway, you stand actually under the sort of porch of the house. I want you to wait until the car stops and the door opens before you approach the car, because I worry about them just rushing out and the person in the vehicle doesn't even know they're there yet and they don't realise that they can't be seen. I've even put one of our kids up in the car and then crouched down and said, see how you know, you can't see me when I'm down here in front of the car, and that's how tall you are. Whether they took that in or not, I'm not sure. We might have to repeat it a few times. But we have little strategies like that. We're really strict about the water being completely out of bounds unless an adult is with them, because we do have dams and creeks around the place. So there's areas of the farm that they're simply not allowed to go to at all without us. But we also try and just keep them really involved and teach them strategies for low-stress livestock handling, being around animals in a safe way, never approaching the horses from behind, for example, or indeed the cattle. So yeah, it's a really mixed bag, and it's a constant work in progress as they age and they're capable of some things and high risk with others.
I don't think it's just kids that need to hear things more than once, Felicity, around these kinds of things. Even as a grown man, I know that I don't always pay as enough attention as I should to some things. So we all need a friendly reminder every now and again. Not to change topic away, but just maybe unpacking this report a little bit further. Farmers clearly working around heavy machinery is a part of what we do or what you do. And it is sadly often the cause of some horrific injuries. Again, there were some near misses in the stories that are in the report, like the fellow that was standing on top of the cotton machine and still had his foot or his shoe was engaged, and it could have been terrible, but they were lucky enough that it twisted a couple of times and it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But, you know, it just shows how those near misses can happen. Our own stats for the last 12 months show a decrease in burns, but we're seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of the crush injuries. And many of these, clearly, there's some devastating lifelong injuries as a result. What's the report telling us about these kinds of injuries in the last 12 months?
So as you say, we continue to see, we've talked about side-by-sides, quads, tractors, they continue to be leading agents of fatality and also of injury. We actually saw the leading cause of injury in our report was quads at 35% of our injuries. I think there's a lot of factors at play, because we know so much of this equipment has extraordinary safety features that certainly wasn't around 30 years ago, some of them not even around 5 or 10 years ago. So we know the machinery is developing, but clearly our attitudes are not developing commensurately. So what do we need to do? I think we need that attitude shift. I think we need to be saying, well, yes, I have driven a tractor or I've used a piece of equipment like this for the last 20 years, but have I used this particular piece? Have I actually familiarized myself with this particular piece? And, you know, you mentioned manufacturer's instructions and people just look at you blankly like, oh, no, I don't refer to that until it breaks down. And I'm like, no, guys, these guys made the equipment. There's actually no one better informed about how it works and what the risks might be associated with handling it. So taking the time, whether it's at the point of purchase, asking the dealer to talk you through it, referring to any information that comes with it, and just making sure that, yeah, you know what the latest safety features are and you're not launching yourself into something as if it's going to be exactly the same as the last piece of equipment you used. Then there's all the really routine things that hopefully people are already super familiar with, which is putting your guards in place, wearing your seatbelt if it's available, checking it's the appropriate piece of equipment for the job. Like, we've got some fairly hilly terrain, and so there's some areas where only the dual rear wheel tractor is appropriate and you simply cannot take any of the other heavy equipment up there. So, you know, assessing your farm, assessing the task and assessing the skills of the person you're asking to do that task, or maybe that's even just asking yourself, and making sure all those things marry up, not just once, but every single time you do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I reflect on Rob, the cotton farmer's story, it was a confluence of things, wasn't it? It was a piece of machinery very familiar with. It was a blockage he'd cleared many, many times before. It was fatigue at the end of the day, just wanting to get something done, and all of those led to quite a dangerous circumstance. So, yeah, really interesting. Since we're talking about large things, large animals bring a similar risk, and Felicity, you'd know this just as much as anyone, given the cattle that you have on your three properties. What comes with animals and that level of unpredictability, and how does the report inform us about what we need to think about in that space?
I mean, animals, you've really captured it. They are unpredictable, and no matter how good your risk assessment is, you've got to go into every single job that involves a live animal with everything switched on. You've got to be completely ready to evaluate the circumstances as they unfold, because you could be moving a mob of 50, you could be moving a mob of 500 or 5,000. You can't possibly know how every single animal is going to behave, and so you've got to be really switched on. So that's kind of the first thing. I know personally, training in low stress stock handling, my husband and I and our team here just went through one of the low stress stock handling schools, and FarmSafe has talked about low stress stock handling strategies as an important safety tool as well. And I just can't emphasize enough how important that is, because not only is that fantastic as a animal welfare consideration, it is so important from a human safety. Reading the way animals behave, engaging with them appropriately, and ensuring that you're not accidentally entering their flight zone and encouraging behavior, inadvertently encouraging dangerous behavior, is so important. And so I would really be encouraging everyone to be thinking about that. And that's applicable whether it's cattle, horses, obviously it's slightly, we usually handle them in a slightly different way. But again, being as skillful as we possibly can be around them, and remembering that, you know, we don't know whether they woke up on the right side of the bed, so to speak, that morning. So don't assume because everything went smoothly yesterday, it will today. Those kinds of things are just so important with livestock, always.
And it's not just the animal, is it? My team were involved with a session that Stevie ran recently. It's the whole setup of the infrastructure around the animals as well that you pay attention to.
Sorry, I was going to share a great near miss incident. Well, it wasn't quite a miss. It was, unfortunately, there were a few incidents involved in it where my husband, again, poor man, he's getting really dragged into the examples today, but there was a wasp's nest. The wasps had built a nest around the cattle yards, and he'd seen it, but kind of been, you know, right, preoccupied, bringing the mob in, going to do some drafting off, it's all fine. One of the cows kicked the wasp's nest, and the wasps were not impressed, nor was anybody. There were a lot of stings on humans, on cows. It was a very miserable experience, and it was a case of not taking that time to stop and assess a very familiar environment and look for a new hazard and eradicate said hazard before the job began. So yeah, checking your infrastructure even for the unexpected hazards like a wasp's nest are really important.
And they're the worst kind of sting, aren't they?
Oh, it was just awful. Everyone was so miserable. I'm sure the cows were as well. So, you know, we often think of check the gates are swinging and latching properly, make sure there's not, you know, a buildup of mud or any trip hazards on the ground. But, yeah, sometimes it pays to also check for some more unexpected hazards.
Yeah, so well said. mental health is obviously a big focus of National Farmers Federation. We formed a bit of a coalition with them, calling for greater government funding in the last 12 months. With the suicide rate for farmers now 94% higher than the rest of the population, this is clearly an area that needs really urgent attention in our community. What's the report saying about mental health?
So our Safer Farms report doesn't cover intentional injury or fatality. However, the NORCO report that you reference absolutely revealed some incredibly distressing statistics around farmers and their mental health. And FarmSafe is incredibly supportive of all the work that's being undertaken to address that and provide farmers with the support and resources that they need to manage their mental health. And we partner with organisations. One of our member organisations, iFarmWell, for example, has wonderful resources for that purpose. We know that there's just so many pressures. We look around the country at the moment. You've got some farmers experiencing drought, some experiencing flood. You know, farming's not for the faint-hearted in any conditions. But the more that we can create safe places for people to share what their mental load is and point them to the resources and support that they need, I think that's a huge step forward. And resourcing, supporting those organisations that are trying to deliver that support is absolutely critical.
Do you think the conversation around mental health is improving in the agri sector, or is it just one that we've just continue need to focus on?
To me, it's a bit like farm safety. There's been improvements. There's some great work being done out there, but gee, it's got a long way to go. I think there's still a hell of a lot of grin and grim bear it type attitude, and we don't need to be like that anymore. We can let that go, and we can be an industry that actually encourages people to say, I'm not coping, and that's not a failing on my part. I need some help, and we can reach out there and be there to support each other. So long way to go, but some fantastic work that deserves to be acknowledged and, I guess, amplified into the future.
Yeah, and linking it back to the farm safety conversation and the attitudes that you're trying to change around how we think about risk on the farm, I think that's exactly what needs to happen, is how do we talk about mental health as a community and support each other is really key to starting improvement in that space. So, Felicity, this is such an important report, and it's centred around how farmers can adopt safer habits to save lives and limbs. How can our listeners access the full report this year?
So they're encouraged to come to our website, which is just farmsafe.org.au, and check it out, read the report in full. We'll also have some hard copies travelling around the country with us at various events. I'm sure WFI will have some copies to distribute. Enjoy reading those stories, reflecting on them, and hopefully chatting about them with their team so we can all learn from the people who've really generously shared their near misses to make sure that they never happen to anyone else.
It's a fabulous report, really, really well drafted by Stevie and the team. I certainly enjoyed the stories, but then, as I said at the start, the insight that comes from them and some of the things and the ways that it encourages us to think differently. Given you are the farmer and the person on the land, Felicity, if you could give one piece of advice that the farmers could take away and implement on their farm today, what would that advice be?
So this year, what I encourage people to do is don't waste those second chances. Share them. Learn from them and act on them.
What a way to finish. Thank you very much, Felicity.
No worries, Damien. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today for this special conversation with FarmSafe Australia Chair, Felicity Richards. Just like Felicity and FarmSafe Australia are helping make your world a safer place for Australian farmers, WFI Insurance has a long and proud history of helping agricultural communities to identify and mitigate their risks, protecting Aussie farms for well over 100 years. Please join us again next time as we shake hands with more good people to know.